I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Robin Hilton, and in fact, Thor Slaughter is here.
Hello.
and all the way at KPCC in Los Angeles, Ty Siegel, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, I'm so happy you're here. So here's the how this is all working. We have a chat room open. People can type their questions. Robin will read, since I can't read, Robin will read some of the questions that come. He'll try to group them in ways that make sense, maybe summarize some questions that are, you know, multiple sort of similar ways of getting at questions. And we'll ask you, and we'll hang out for a little bit, maybe 40 minutes, so we'll see how it goes. And
cool.
Thanks so much. Is it weird to sit and listen? You were in a studio in Los Angeles. We're here in D.C. Is it weird to sit and listen to your stuff? How does that work for you?
It's a little weird in this context, maybe, but it's cool. It's cool to listen to it on the radio.
When was the last time you sat and listened to the whole thing, like beginning to end?
When I got the test pressing, maybe 2 months ago, two or three months ago. So... Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to listen to it.
Your stuff seems the word effortless comes up a lot in conversation when people talk about your music. When I think about your music, when I hear this record, is it really, or is this a magic trick that you do?
No. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to. It's hard and it's fun. You know, that's why it's fun, is to push it. To try to do different things, you know. A lot of that stuff was really out of my comfort zone, which is why it was fun, you know. So, yeah, no, but that's awesome that you would think so.
You know,
that it sounds like that. That's great, you know.
It definitely feels like that. It feels like it comes to you pretty effortlessly, and you know, there's. It's almost funny now. We joke sometimes about how many records you put out in a year or over the last few years. But I mean, we love every one of them. But a number of people have asked in the comments section, just how do you produce so much? Where does this come from? I'm wondering if somebody instilled in you this kind of a work ethic, or if it's just something that you're born with that you just feel the need to create.
You know, maybe the work ethic thing might have to do with it, you know. I mean, I was raised, in kind of more of a strict household, at least dealing with school and going to college and, you know, performing well, so you could have a future, that kind of thing. You know, all other aspects of my life was kind of left up to me, but the doing well in school and making sure you worked hard was always a big, big thing in my house when I was growing up. So maybe that has to do with that. But no, I mean, you know, playing music's my job now, and it's kind of the coolest job to have, because I'm a super lucky guy. I literally, when I'm at home and everybody is at work, you know, I get to wake up, drink a cup of coffee, and go try to play a song, or write a song, or play the drums, or, you know, do something weird in my garage, and that's what I get to do, and it's pretty ridiculous, but, you know, so.
And did you record this record in that garage? And if so, I'll be geeky and ask you, is it, what kind of gear and stuff you...
I actually did it in San Francisco right before I moved. I moved to L.A., I guess in March, the end of March or something like that. So I did it in a downtown San Francisco in this apartment, but it's with all the same gear I have. I did it on a 388, Tascam 388, 8-track, reel-to-reel machine. It's my favorite thing.
We were guessing digital, but...
We'd be totally wrong.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Cool. Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I don't really know how to use digital stuff. I mean, you know, I've always been able to... I think the thing with tape is that if you screw up and you blow it out too much, or it sounds weird, you can get away with it with tape.
It's usable.
Because it's just weird, which is fun, you know?
So you don't use digital. You're not on Twitter. You're not on Facebook. Are you a technological, is that something you just don't embrace?
Are you one of those people that you get in your computer and they break?
Yeah, Luddite, I don't.
No, I mean, some people vibe. They get in your computer and all of a sudden the thing either shuts down or goes kaflooey. Or is kaflooey a word?
you know, my parents used to say that I should test out electronic devices because I would break everything. But no, I have a computer. I have an email address and, you know, I have an iPhone and stuff like that.
I think 40 people just asked what your email address is. So let's go to that room full of people asking great questions.
Well, you talked about writing in your and recording in your garage. Emily writes, I'm just curious about your creative process when it comes to your songwriting. Do you usually put down lyrics first or start with music?
I usually start with the music. I, you know, if I ever write something, I tend to be too direct if I write lyrics first. So I've realized those are usually the songs I throw away. So the ones I usually end up keeping are the ones I write the music first. And I actually tend to just mumble and kind of record a demo of it. And then I go back and I pick out the kind of words I was mumbling. And then it kind of starts the lyrics from there, which is kind of a weird way to do it. But it's kind of how it works out usually.
And the mumbling has some sort of melody, sense of melody. Is that what's going on too?
Yeah, it's kind of like if I write the lyrics first, the melody gets lost. So it's kind of by mumbling, you start to form the lyrics and the melody at the same time, and then you can pick apart the words and kind of form the idea of where that song was going.
There's always that famous Paul McCartney scrambled eggs. You know that story?
Yeah.
The song Yesterday was scrambled eggs. Da, 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 scrambled eggs.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew writes, another listener writes, that he feels like you've developed your songwriting skills a lot over the past few records, and he says especially as a lyricist, and was wondering if there was a turning point that made you focus more on lyrics.
Well, thanks, Andrew. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, when I was younger, you know, like a young man would be that's into rock and roll. It's a lot of girls, 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 party, 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 you know, when you're like 17, you know, Louie, derner, Wild Thing, derner, you know, and into punk and stuff, which is super rad. But I think, you know, just the older you get, the less afraid you are to speak your mind and kind of maybe you're a little more in touch with how you're feeling. And, I think that's what it is, but I think I've gotten a little less scared to say certain things, you know? Maybe? I don't know.
This record does feel very honest and personal. Tom, another listener named Tom, writes that you said recently that Sleeper was a moment in time record. He's wondering if you're going to go back to that electric sound, but maybe you could first talk a little bit about how you think this record couldn't have been made any other time.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird thing. Definitely a moment in time. You know, a few people, when I've been talking about this record with other, like, interviews and stuff, they've, you know, asked me what the intention of the record was and what I wanted to do with it. And the funny thing is there wasn't an intention. It kind of was just what happened, you know, one of those things, like, maybe through the mumbling and through the sitting there and playing, you know, these are the songs that kind of came out. And it definitely has to do with that moment in time of what was going on, you know, with me. It's a weird thing.
This record was written shortly after your father passed away?
Yeah. No, it was a very weird thing. I mean, my dad, I was adopted by my stepdad when I was 18, but he was basically, you know, raised me from a young age. And he got cancer when I was 9. So it was kind of this very long thing he went through. And he passed away in December. And to be honest, there was just a lot of things that happened, like with my mom, and she didn't handle anything the right way, and she did some bad stuff, and it was a very weird, intense time. And you know, it was kind of a purge, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And what's weird is a lot of these songs were written, I mean, it's very weird for me, but the song Crazy was like written in that take is basically when I wrote that song. That was all kind of like in the moment. So it's really weird. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've never done that kind of thing before, but yeah, so the intention thing, there wasn't an intention. That's why I think it's a moment in time thing, because it just kind of happened.
That maybe goes right back to that effortless comment that some of us feel, that it does feel like an outpouring, even if you take tunes and you work on them. Crazy was one for sure that just felt like it was out there. I'm wondering about the idea of sort of, I find it hard to write songs about people who are living. In this case, you write songs about your mom and stuff and feelings. And there doesn't seem to be any self-censorship. And how that plays out for you, that just seems like a hard thing to do.
I mean, to put it into what, I mean, to for a little bit more of a backstory,
yeah.
I think I was censored about that, about her, for my entire life, kind of a thing. And it's kind of that thing where a person crosses a line, mm-hmm. and you just snap.
Yes.
And I was extremely bitter and upset and mad. And it's one of those things that, to be honest, it's weird, but you hit a point where you don't care how it affects that person, because you just have to say it so you can move on and you can make sure other people can move on that really matter. Like my sister and other people in my life, you know, and I'm not going to lie that I do. At that point, I was very bitter, mm-hmm. and angry at that person. And I've never really tried to write a song about a specific person before, because I know that that's a pretty wild thing to do, and mm-hmm. it can get yourself in trouble. You know, but at this present junction, if she hears it and she wants to change what she's doing with her life, then I hope she does, and we can talk about it.
Awesome.
You know, so. Yeah, sorry to get
into this. But that's the thing about this record, and I think just the way it just speaks so direct, you know something's going on, and you know sometimes it doesn't matter that you know really what it is that's going on, because everybody interprets the songs for themselves in their own way, for their own situation. But that honesty,
I hope so.
Yeah, but because no one really is mad at your mom, you know. I mean, out here, right? I mean, you are.
No, yeah.
Right?
I mean,
so, but the point is that song we all can identify with, and the honesty that you are able to deal with it makes it hit each one of us with a much more sharp and pointed arrow. And so we remember the song. We remember the sentiment. We take the sentiment in our own ways, in our own lives. And I think it hits harder. So.
Well, then, yes. Then it worked.
Yes, it totally was. Yes.
Good job. You know, I and as a listener, maybe I'm reading more into this than is there, but I feel like this record speaks a little to your personality and your outlook on life. And even though the songs aren't happy, to me there's a vibe about it that feels like you think everything's going to be okay, like it's all right.
Well, yeah, that's all you can really do, you know. I mean, you got to get real. You have to deal with stuff in a real way, but in the end, it's all you got is to just keep doing what you're going to do, you know. So that's all I got, just to keep doing what I'm going to do and keep hanging out with the people I love. So that's what you got
to
do.
There are folks sending condolences to you and your stepdad's passing, and there's so many sweet notes that are flying away. I don't know if you're able to, probably not wise to look through this chat room as it goes, but later you should, because there's some nice messages, sentiments to you.
Well, Robin's thanks.
Robin will ask some more questions that are flying in from the...
A number of people wondered if this record is such a tightly curated, cozy 35 minutes long. Wondering, some fans are wondering if you wrote more than appeared on this record.
You know, what's weird is this is the only record I didn't. This is all the stuff that I wrote. Every other one I had a bunch of other songs. This one, I didn't have anything else, which is weird.
Have you played this stuff out live, and how does it work to play a song like Crazy or some of the other songs that came so direct? How does that feel to do that in front of an audience? Is it cathartic still? Is it?
You know, no, it's not. It's actually, it's fun. It's really cool. Good. I mean, I've always, you know, when writing a song, it's like, for some reason, it's like that song is super personal when you're writing it and you're recording it. But once it's there, it's not yours anymore. It's like that thing where it's like, mm-hmm. that emotional connection to it. It's not lost, but it just moves on. It goes into a different place. And so it's really cool for me to play these songs live and have it just mean something completely different, which is just, you know, it's just whatever anybody wants it to be. Mm-hmm. And live, it's cool because Crazy has drums and, you know, bass, and it's like it's kind of more of an up-tempo thing, and it's actually kind of more ridiculous, and that's the way it should be, you know. It shouldn't be so heavy live, and it's a nice way to look at it in a different way. You know?
Could we play just a bit of Crazy? I mean, people came to this room in many different times and ways. Some have heard this record, some haven't. You know, hopefully many of us listen to it beginning to end at the top. But let's just for reference point here, let's play a little bit of Crazy, okay? You want to hit it, Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna leave the mics in.
Little while, you've got your hand over your heart. Take away your hand, give your heart a brand new start. 'Cause he's here, he's still here. Now she is crazy. He's here, he's still here. Now she is crazy.
It's a funny way to say the word crazy, because when before I saw some lyric sheet, I had no idea what you were saying.
So you're saying, cool, there are drums on this when you do it live?
Yeah, it comes in on the "he's here, he's still here" part, and then it stays the whole time, which is cool, which is fun.
Now,
this is Thor.
Howdy.
Thor.
You guys have thrown shapes?
Yeah. Hey, man.
True.
How are you
still
doing?
Know what that
I'm
means.
Doing good. I'm doing good. Surprised that we would go from Eugene, Oregon, and Fuzz to talking about Sleeper at
Washington, D.C. Are you in D.C. right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here in the NPR studios.
He is our intern.
Somehow, we came here to work one day, and he was just sitting at the desk next to Bob. You're like, all right.
Almost.
That's awesome. Thor is a good guy, man.
Well, you know, right back at you. But one of the things I'm curious about is that, you know, this is such a, it really seems like a fully formed vision of a record. And you're doing some dates, sort of a shorter tour, which I've heard is really based around this record. And you played Pickathon recently, and you know, I heard that you have this great sort of more acoustic setup going on. So I'm curious what it was like preparing these songs for the live scenario, because you made a huge reputation as a great live performer. You know, what's it like to think about playing these songs live? And, you know, even a few months later, you're going on tour with Fuzz, which is such a different live scenario. So what's it like? What was it like for you preparing that situation?
You know, it was super, super scary, to be honest. You know, I've been an acoustic guy at my house, you know, recording stuff, but I've never played acoustically. And, you know, you do think about, like, well, what if people show up expecting these giant stacks of amps and they go, you know, they don't want to listen to that. And you have those thoughts, you know, and it's natural to have that. But then it's fun. I've always kind of had a good time kind of not necessarily messing with people, but doing stuff different each time. And it's kind of fun to push it. And mm-hmm. and if people would want to listen in this way, then that's really great. And I'm honored that they could, you know, be that thoughtful to not need the giant amplifiers and stuff. And that's cool. So, and those shows went so great. It was so surprising and we were all really freaked out, but it was really cool. And even in Santa Cruz, people were stage diving to an acoustic set. It was ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Completely ridiculous. Super fun.
I love that.
What about the title of the record? A number of people have written in, someone named Casper says, wonders whether or not the title reflects some sort of escapism from reality. Someone who goes by "That's Mr. Bubbles" to you just asks, any reason for the title?
well back at
Hello,
you, Mr. Bubbles.
That is Mr. Bubbles, Ty.
Mr. Bubbles.
anything about the title that you can tell us about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've always been really, really interested in dreams. It's something that my dad and I talked about a lot. I was actually having a lot of nightmares at that time about stuff. And, I mean, who doesn't have nightmares, right? It's not like anything special or anything like that. But, yeah, and in the end, you know, wasn't really thinking about it, but it kind of reflects, you know, death, sleeping, dreams, and, whatever that means to anybody, you know? So, you know, it started with the song "Sleeper" is actually kind of about my girlfriend sleeping. Initially, I was just playing guitar and I started playing that, but then it kind of took on a bit more of a meaning to kind of the whole idea of the record, so I thought it would be appropriate to call it that, you know?
Do you have a pretty active dream life?
It's either extremely non-active or very active. I went years without remembering a single dream I had, but then now I do, which is weird. Hmm. Doesn't make any sense.
I don't often do this when I do interviews. I don't usually write questions down, but I only wrote one question down for no reason, randomly. I wrote the question down, "Do you dream?" And so, Mr. Bubbles, thank you.
Yeah, this is an ongoing discussion Bob and I have, because you don't remember your dreams.
Yeah.
Mine are so real, I sometimes have a hard time distinguishing.
This morning was the first dream I can remember knowing that I had one. I was driving around in a circle in a car, half of the, and it was like almost a beach, and half the time I'd go around the circle, the car would go mostly underwater, and then half the time it would not. Can you help me with this, Ty?
I think you feel like you're trapped. I don't feel trapped at all.
I can do whatever.
No, I don't know.
So, let's go further here. Are dreams for you something that you look forward to? Are they vivid? Are they?
Yeah. You know, I don't really have good dreams.
Okay.
But I do look forward to thinking about them and hopefully trying to gain something.
Do you mine them for material?
Sometimes, yeah. There's been a lot of songs that have come from dreams, so that's rad. That's cool. Yeah.
Some people have asked about L.A. Since you've only been there for a few months now. How are you liking it? What do you think? How does it compare for you from San Francisco?
I love L.A. You know, I grew up around L.A. I'm from Orange County, so yeah, it's great. I mean, I love surfing. I have a bunch of friends down here. Actually, most of my friends from San Francisco are moving down here because it's kind of hard to make it in that city. With it's so expensive now, you know, so many people can't afford it. So,
but you're coming from San Francisco to Los Angeles because it's too expensive in San Francisco.
I mean, that's not why I'm coming.
It's crazy expensive in San Francisco, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I came down here to be closer to my sister and stuff like that, but it's a plus that we can rent a house instead of an apartment. You know, that's cool. and I, you know, surfing, and yeah, and it's great. It's very mellow, and people have a bad idea of LA, but LA is so big, you can kind of do whatever you want with it. It's giant. There's like 8 cities in one, so it's cool.
Have you surfed since you were a kid?
Yeah. Just a typical Southern Californian little kid, you know, surfing at 10 and that whole thing. It's a very typical thing for Southern Californians, really.
I'm so East Coast. It's just such a foreign...
I lived in New York when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
You were in New York for a while?
When I was a little kid, we lived in Manhattan for a year.
Yeah, not many surfers there.
Which is cool. No,
I'm from Kansas. We don't do much surfing.
Yeah, it's Kansas. No surfing. Thor, do surf in Eugene?
We're like a little bit away from the coast, and some people can surf sometimes, but it's not near the beautiful Beach Boys soaked sun of
people that surf in Oregon are hardcore, man.
They are awesome. They are really hardcore.
Yeah.
They weep while they... So another listener named Abby writes, you know, San Francisco has such a great garage rock resurgence there. She calls it an incredible incubator for garage rock. And she's just wondering how much that affects what you write, the music you write. And do you think that'll change much since you're in a new city?
No, I don't think it'll change because, you know, it's really like about all my friends and bands. Like that was always what kind of inspired me, like hanging out with John from the OCs, you know, or Mike Donovan from the Sick Alps, and always, you know, playing each other what we're doing and playing shows and stuff. And it hasn't changed at all since I've moved down here. You know, the city itself totally like shaped a lot of the music I listened to and like what I wanted to do, but that's kind of instilled in my brain now. And you know, it doesn't really, it LA, you know, moving to LA won't change like that part of my brain.
What are some of the first concerts you went to? What was it that you loved to go see, and what did you want from bands when you went to see them?
In San Francisco or
anywhere
or
when you were
a kid.
Wherever you were growing up and seeing concerts, what was your first concert? It was some state fair. No, what was your first concert?
My first concert, I think, was Ozfest when I was a really little kid.
How about nightclub, like when you got older?
Yeah, when I got older. There's this all ages place in Anaheim called the Chain Reaction, and I saw this band Neon King Kong, and this band Gravy Train, which Hunks and his punks, the dude Hunks was in that band.
Oh,
and
just saw them the other night.
Yeah, they're awesome. And the Makeout Party, the dudes from Burger Records, their band way back in the day, they're amazing. And this band Bratmobile, that was my first like real show, which was awesome. I was 15.
Awesome.
And yeah, I would go to Chain Reaction and see punk bands. And I'd go to this place, Coos Cafe, and I'd go to The Smell in LA. There was actually a lot of all ages places in Southern California when I was a kid, which is cool.
Just a couple more questions from listeners. One's from a listener named Gavin. He wonders how you listen to music, not necessarily format wise, but are you doing other things as you listen? Are you know, actively listening to what you have on? But I am kind of curious about format, since you seem pretty analog. How do you listen to music?
Well, I have a ton of records. I've always been into records, you know, and it started because they were cheaper, which is funny. When I was like 14 or 13, I went to a record store, and I remember I bought Cream, Disraeli Gears, and Wheels on Fire, both for $1.
Wheels on Fire for $1? 2 record set. All right.
Yeah, and I got Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap for $1, and I got something else. Might have been a Sabbath record for $1. And I remember being like, what? $4? And I immediately was like, Mom, can I get a record player? I can use my lunch money for records. Yeah, and that's the only reason. And then I eventually grew to love the whole, like, how it sounded and how big the art is. You know, when you're like 15, you're like, oh man, Bon Scott rules. Whoa. You know, I was totally that little kid. And now it's just, I break CDs, they scratch, they're too small. I step on them in my car. You can't break tapes in your car, so that's pretty good. Yeah. But listening to music, I'm just a total spaz. I'm constantly switching records up and switching around, and I can never really stay still with a single record, but I also love listening to specific records as albums too, and can't help but dissect stuff. But I love headbanging and listening to stuff really loud and numbing my brain too, so I'm all over the place.
Of the people who you don't play with, who do you like to listen to these days?
So much stuff. I just found this insane Pete Townsend bootleg of him doing all of the like a ton of Who songs that he recorded in his bedroom.
So Who Came First, maybe, era stuff, maybe. Have you ever heard, if you haven't heard Who Came First.
It's before.
Oh, before that.
Yeah, it's like, it's all the way back to like Substitute.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's so good. I think I like it more. It's so good. It's cool. So I, seriously, there's so much random stuff I'm into. There's this band Fang. I just bought this LP, Landshark. The dude killed his girlfriend. It's weird. There's a lot of weird punk out there that I like listening to.
I'm not sure I understood that last thing. The guy in the band took his girlfriend's life.
Yeah, I don't really know too much about this band, but okay.
And it's called Fang.
He supposedly killed his girlfriend in like 1989, but they put out this record in like 83. It's pretty weird. There's a lot of weird rock and roll history.
That'll certainly change
really
the context of listening
to me.
To it.
Yeah. It does, but it's super interesting to listen to that kind of stuff and think about people's minds when they're making music, you know? It's weird. That goes off into a whole different realm of listening to stuff and thinking about things.
All right, give me something. One more thing, though.
So I was going to say, what do you want people to think when they're listening to your music?
They should just think whatever they want. Yeah. They should hopefully take it. Like what you guys said earlier was the coolest thing I ever heard. Hopefully they take their own meaning from it, and that's the whole point of the whole thing, which is so cool.
So this obviously isn't the last we're hearing from you. You got another band, Fuzz, and another record coming out in October. You want to tell us about it real quickly and what your tour plans are?
Fuzz, that record is going to come out October 1st, and we're super excited. We're going to do a U.S. tour and a European tour, and that's really cool because Charlie writes all the riffs, and then I kind of help him finish the riffs, and then we write the lyrics together. So it's really cool to be kind of, you know, I'm playing drums, so it's super fun to be on that side of the writing for me, and just to be able to headbang super hard.
That's great.
You know, it's super therapeutic to just bash on some drums, you know.
Well, if you want to come by when you come to Washington, I don't know if you're touring with the... Let's talk real quick. The tour with the acoustic is separate from the Fuzz tour? Will you do two different tours?
Or
is
this,
And totally. Is one... I haven't looked. Is this Sleeper tour taking you through D.C.?
Sleeper isn't, but I think Fuzz is. Mm-hmm. Sleeper, we're just keeping it kind of as condensed and small as we can.
Well, we have something condensed and small here. It's a little desk, and if you want to come and play, you're welcome to.
I would love to.
So open.
Yeah, next time, come on through. That sounds great.
Awesome.
Thanks so much, Ty. And if people joined us late and missed any of this, we'll archive the whole thing on the website here.
The
in
chat
a little
part,
bit. The audio part of this, yeah.
And this week, all week long, you can listen to the entire album. Sleeper on the NPR Music site. We We do a series called First Listen. If people have never heard it before, every week a couple of albums. What is the Superchunk record up
Super
this week?
Superchunk, No Age, yeah. Julia Holter.
Yeah, we got some good stuff. And then, of course, Sleeper, the Ty Siegel record. So come
Jams.
Listen. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ty.
Take care, Ty.
Thanks, man.
Be well,
you
all.
Too.
Thanks, KPCC. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.